Owa had not been able to force himself to approach closer than 200 paces to the camp of the strangers. Even at that distance, the strange sounds and odours that carried to him confused him. The ring of axe on wood, the clatter of a bucket, the bleat of a goat made him start, the smell of paraffin and soap, of coffee and woollen clothing troubled him, while the sounds of men speaking in unfamiliar cadence and harsh sibilance were as terrifying to him as the hissing of serpents. He lay against the earth, his heart hammering painfully, and whispered to Hani, "Namcheld is with her own kind at last. She is lost to us, old grandmother. This is a sickness of the head, this crazy following after her. We both know well that the others will murder us if they discover that we are here. Namcheld is hurt. You read the sign beneath the mopani tree where the naked carcass of the lion lay," Hani whispered back. "You saw her blood on the earth." "She is with her own kind," Owa repeated stubbornly. "They will care for her. She does not need us any more. She went in the night and left us without a word of farewell." "Old grandfather, I know what you say is true, but how will I ever smile again if I never know how badly she has been hurt? How will I ever sleep again if I never see little Shasa safe at her breast?" "You risk both our lives for a glimpse of someone who has departed. They are dead to us now. Leave them be." "I risk my own life, my husband, for to me it has no further value if I do not know that Namcheld, the daughter of my heart, if not of my own womb, is alive and will stay alive. I risk my own life for the touch of Shasa once more. I do not ask you to come with me." Hani rose, and before he could protest, scuttled away into the shadows, heading towards the faint glow where the watchfire showed through the trees. Owa came up on his knees, but his courage failed him again, and he lay and covered his head with an arm. "Oh, stupid old woman," he lamented, "do you not know that without you my heart is a desert? When they kill you, I will die 100 deaths to your one." Hani crept towards the camp, circling downwind, watching the drift of smoke from the fire, for she knew that if the cattle or the horses scented her, they would stamp and mill and alert the camp. Every few paces she sank to the ground and listened with all her soul, staring into the shadows around the wagons and the crude huts of the encampment, watching for those tall, very black men dressed in outlandish apparel and hung with glittering metal weapons. They were all asleep. She could make out the shapes around the fire, and the stink of their bodies in her nostrils made her shake with fear. She forced herself to rise and go forward, keeping one of the wagons between her and the sleeping men until she could crouch beside the tall, rear wheel of the wagon. She was certain that Namcheld was in one of the thatched shelters, but to choose the wrong one would bring disaster upon her. She decided on the nearest of the shelters and crawled on her hands and knees to the entrance. Her eyes were good in the gloom, almost like those of a cat, but all she could see was a dark, indefinite bundle on a raised structure at the far end of the shelter. A human shape, perhaps, but there was no way of being certain. The shape stirred and then coughed and grunted.
"A man!"
Her heart thudded so loudly she was certain it would wake him. She drew back and crawled to the second shelter. Here there was another sleeping form. Hani crept towards it, timidly, and when she was within arm's length, her nostrils flared. She recognized the milky smell of Shasa and the odor of Namcheld's skin, which to the old woman was as sweet as the wild melon. She knelt beside the cot, and Shasa sensed her presence and whimpered. Hani touched his forehead and then slipped the tip of a little finger into his mouth. She had taught him well. All bushman children learned to be still under this special restraint, for the safety of the clan could depend on their silence. Shasa relaxed under the familiar touch and smell of the old woman. Hani felt for Namchild's face. The heat of her cheeks told her that Namchild was in light fever, and she leaned forward and smelled her breath. It was soured with pain and sickness, but lacked the rank feral stench of virulent infection. Hani longed for the opportunity to examine and dress her wounds, but knew it was vain. Instead, she placed her lips against the girl's ear and whispered, "My heart, my little bird, I call all the spirits of the clan to protect you. Your old grandfather and I will dance for you to strengthen and cure you." The old woman's voice reached something deep in the unconscious girl's being. Images formed in her mind. "Old grandmother," she muttered, and smiled at the dream images. "Old grandmother." "I am with you," Hani replied. "I will be with you always and always." That was all she could say, for she could not risk the sob that crouched in her throat, ready to burst through her lips. She touched them each once more, the child and the mother, on their lips and their closed eyes. Then she rose and scuttled from the shelter. Her tears blinded her. Her grief swamped her senses. She passed close to the thorn lager where the horses stood. One of the horses snorted and stamped and tossed its head, the sharp, unfamiliar scent. As Hani disappeared into the night, one of the men lying beside the fire sat up and threw aside his blanket to go to the restless horses. Halfway there, he paused and then stooped over the tiny footprint in the dust.